Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, October 15th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on acupuncture and sciatica pain. Let's dive right in. Eric, can you explain what sciatica is and why it's such a problem for many people?
Sure thing, Ted. So, sciatica is like this nasty little troublemaker that sets up shop in your lower body. It's all about the sciatic nerve, the biggest nerve in your body, getting squeezed or irritated. Imagine someone's constantly pinching your leg, but from the inside. Like, that's sciatica for you. It can cause pain, weakness, and even that weird tingly feeling like your leg's fallen asleep. And get this, it's often caused by these things called herniated discs, which are like the party crashers of your spine.
While Eric's explanation is correct, I think it's crucial to emphasize the widespread impact of sciatica.
I was about to mention that sciatica affects millions of people worldwide, and it's not
exactly my point, Eric. It's not just a small inconvenience. Sciatica can be absolutely debilitating, affecting every aspect of a person's life. From work, to sleep, to simple daily activities, it can turn everything upside down. We're talking about a condition that can leave people in constant pain and discomfort.
Those are some compelling points about the impact of sciatica. Now, Kate, can you tell us about the current treatments available for sciatica and why they might be considered unsatisfactory?
Absolutely, Ted. So here's the deal with sciatica treatments. It's like a buffet of options, but none of them are quite hitting the spot. On one end, you've got your over-the-counter painkillers, which for many folks are about as effective as using a squirt gun to put out a house fire. Then you've got the heavy hitters like opioids, but those come with their own set of problems. Moving up the ladder, some people get epidural injections, which sounds about as fun as it is. And for the really unlucky ones, surgery's on the table. But here's the kicker. Even with all these options, a lot of people are still left high and dry, dealing with pain that just won't quit.
I have to push back on Kate's overly pessimistic view here. While it's true that some patients struggle with current treatments, many find relief through less invasive methods. Physical therapy, for instance, can work wonders for some people. And let's
not forget about simple... Oh, come on, Eric. You're painting way too rosy a picture. Sure, some people might get by with stretching and icing, but for a significant number of patients, these conservative measures are like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. The fact is, many people are desperate for better solutions, which is precisely
why...
Kate,
you're exaggerating the situation. While I agree that not every treatment works for every person, it's misleading to suggest that most patients are left without any effective options. Many do find relief through a combination of these approaches, and it's important to recognize that before jumping to new unproven treatments.
It's clear there's some debate about the effectiveness of current treatments. Let's move on to the study itself. Eric, can you give us an overview of how it was conducted?
Sure thing, Ted. So, picture this. You've got 220 people all dealing with sciatica caused by those pesky herniated discs we mentioned earlier. Now, the researchers split them into two groups, like picking teams for dodgeball. One group got the real deal, genuine acupuncture treatment. The other group, well, they thought they were getting acupuncture, but it was actually a clever fake out. We're talking needles placed in spots that supposedly don't do squat. The kicker? They followed these folks for a whole year, checking in on their pain levels and how well they could go about their daily lives. It's like a scientific version of the long game.
I'd like to add that this study wasn't just your run-of-the-mill research. It was the real deal. Methodologically rigorous, as the eggheads would say. We're talking experienced acupuncturists, none of those newbies fresh out of needle school. And that sham control group? It was designed to be more convincing than a used car salesman. Plus, they stuck with these people for a whole year. That's commitment, folks.
While I agree the study design seems solid, I can't help but raise an eyebrow at the long-term benefits claimed here. Look, I'm all for new treatments, but we need to pump the brakes a bit. One study, no matter how well designed, doesn't rewrite the medical textbooks overnight. We need to see these results replicated, maybe throw in some comparisons to other treatments. It's like getting excited about a new restaurant based on one Yelp review. Tasty, sure, but let's see if it stands the test of time.
Eric, you're being way too dismissive here. This isn't just some flash in the pan study. The results showed significant improvements in pain and function for the acupuncture group, even at the 52-week
mark. Hold your horses, Kate. I'm not dismissing the study. I'm advocating for caution. Yes, the results are interesting, but we can't just leap to conclusions. We need to consider factors like placebo effects, potential biases, and how these
placebo effects? Biases? Eric, you're grasping at straws here. This study was designed specifically to account for those factors. The sham acupuncture group controlled for placebo effects, and the year-long follow-up shows this isn't just a short-term fluke. We're talking about real, lasting improvements in people's lives. That's not something to be brushed aside with academic hand-waving.
It's clear this study has sparked some debate. Let's move on to some historical context. Eric, can you tell us about any similar treatments that have been used for sciatica in the past?
Absolutely, Ted. Let's take a little trip down medical memory lane. One fascinating historical parallel is bee venom therapy. Now, before you start imagining people willingly getting stung by bees, let me explain. This practice has been buzzing around for thousands of years in traditional medicine systems. Ancient healers in Egypt, Greece, and China were all about it. The idea was to use bee venom to stimulate specific points on the body, kind of like a nature's own acupuncture. They believed it could help with all sorts of nerve pain, including our old friend sciatica.
While Eric's little history lesson is cute, let's not lose sight of what really matters here. Bee venom therapy might sound exotic and interesting, but unlike acupuncture, it hasn't stood up to the rigors of modern scientific testing. We can't compare ancient practices based on superstition to a treatment that's been put through its paces in a controlled, scientific study. It's like comparing astrology to astronomy. One's based on tradition, the other on hard evidence.
Now hold on a second, Kate. I wasn't suggesting we start treating sciatica patients with bee stings. The point is that the principle behind these treatments, using targeted stimulation to relieve pain, has been around for a long time. It's not some new age fad. And while you're right that bee venom therapy hasn't been proven effective in clinical trials, it's worth noting that many modern medicines have roots in traditional practices. We shouldn't dismiss historical treatments outright. They can often point us in interesting directions for research.
Fair enough, Eric. But let's not get too caught up in ancient history when we have modern solutions staring us in the face. The key difference here is that acupuncture has now been studied in a controlled, scientific manner. We're not relying on old wives' tales or historical anecdotes anymore. We've got cold, hard data showing that acupuncture can make a real difference for sciatica patients. That's the kind of evidence we should be focusing on, not stories about bee venom from thousands of years ago.
Interesting comparison. Kate, can you tell us about any other alternative treatments for sciatica that have gained attention in recent years?
Sure thing, Ted. One treatment that's been making waves is spinal decompression therapy. Picture this. You're lying on a high-tech traction table that gently stretches your spine. It's like a really fancy medical-grade taffy puller, but for your back. The idea is to create negative pressure in the spine, which can help suck those pesky herniated discs back into place and take the pressure off the sciatic nerve. It's gotten quite popular, with some patients swearing by it.
While spinal decompression might sound like a sci-fi solution to sciatica, we need to pump the brakes a bit here. Sure, it sounds impressive, but the scientific evidence supporting its effectiveness is about as solid as a house of cards. And let's talk practicality. These treatments can be a real drain on both your time and your wallet. We're talking multiple sessions over weeks or months, and it's not exactly pocket change. Compare that to acupuncture, which is generally more accessible and less time-consuming.
That's precisely why this acupuncture study is so significant, Eric. It provides solid evidence for a treatment that's less invasive and potentially more accessible than options like spinal decompression. We're talking about a treatment that's been around for thousands of years. Now backed by modern science, it doesn't require fancy
treatment or prolonged... Hold on, Kate. You're getting ahead of yourself here. One study, no matter how well conducted, doesn't negate decades of established medical treatments for sciatica. We need to be cautious about overhyping.
Eric, we're talking about a treatment that's shown significant benefits with minimal side effects. This isn't overhyping. It's recognizing a potentially game-changing option for millions of people suffering from sciatica. We should be excited about incorporating acupuncture into mainstream treatment plans, not clinging to the status quo.
Both of you raise interesting points about the potential of acupuncture and how it compares to other treatments. Now let's consider the broader implications of this study. Looking to the future, How do you think this research might impact sciatica treatment? Eric, let's start with you.
All right, Ted. Let's gaze into our crystal ball here. I reckon this study is going to light a fire under researchers' behinds to dig deeper into acupuncture for sciatica. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. We'll see ripples of new studies popping up. But let's not kid ourselves. It's not going to be a medical revolution overnight. More likely, we'll see a slow and steady integration of acupuncture as a sidekick to our current treatments. Think of it like adding a new spice to a familiar recipe. It might improve the flavor, but it's not replacing the main ingredients just yet.
I couldn't disagree more, Eric. This study isn't just a ripple, it's a tidal wave that could reshape how we approach sciatica treatment. We're looking at a potential game changer here. Acupuncture.
Whoa
could
there,
very
Kate.
Well become a...
You're getting way ahead of yourself. This is just one study we're talking about. We can't just throw out decades of medical practice based on a single piece of research.
Eric,
no matter how
you're stuck in the past. This isn't just any study, it's a high-quality piece of evidence that shouldn't be brushed aside. We're talking about a treatment with low risk and potentially high reward. Patients deserve to have this option available to them as soon as possible.
It's clear there are differing views on how quickly acupuncture might be adopted. Now let's consider potential barriers to widespread adoption of acupuncture for sciatica. Kate, what challenges do you foresee?
Well, Ted, we're looking at a couple of big hurdles here. First up, we've got the medical establishment, which can be about as flexible as a brick wall when it comes to new ideas. Many doctors are still giving acupuncture the side eye, treating it like it's some kind of voodoo rather than a scientifically backed treatment. Then there's the whole insurance mess. Try getting your insurance to cover acupuncture. It's like pulling teeth from a crocodile. Until we see more coverage, a lot of folks are going to be priced out of this treatment option.
I'm with Kate on the insurance issue. That's definitely a major roadblock. But I think the skepticism from the medical community isn't entirely unwarranted. We need to look at the bigger picture here. How does acupuncture stack up against other treatments in terms of cost effectiveness? And let's not forget about accessibility. We're talking about a treatment that requires specially trained practitioners. It's not like we can just snap our fingers and have qualified acupuncturists in every clinic overnight.
Cost effectiveness? Eric, you're barking up the wrong tree here. Acupuncture is a bargain compared to the alternatives. We're talking about a treatment that could potentially replace expensive surgeries or long-term medication use. And as for availability, it's simple supply and demand. If there's a need for
more acupuncturists... You're oversimplifying the economics, Kate. Training more acupuncturists and integrating this treatment into mainstream healthcare systems isn't just a matter of supply and demand. We're talking about significant investment in education programs, changes to medical curricula, and major shifts in
healthcare.
But
those changes would be worth it, Eric. We're talking about potentially better outcomes for millions of patients suffering from sciatica. We can't just stick our heads in the sand and ignore a promising treatment option because it might require some changes to the system. Progress often requires shaking things up.
Both of you have raised valid points about the future of sciatica treatment. It's clear that this study has opened up new avenues for discussion and research in the field. While there's still debate about how quickly and widely acupuncture might be adopted, it's evident that this research has the potential to impact how we approach sciatica treatment moving forward. Thank you both for your insights on this fascinating topic.